And boom goes the dynamite. And boom goes the dynamite.
And welcome to episode 28 of Boom Goes the Dynamite, the AEW Dynamite review show here on the Pro Se Only Podcast Network. I'm Jeffrey. With me tonight are Chris and Lawrence. Chris, Lawrence, how are y'all holding up?
Hey, I'm pretty good myself. I'm glad to be back again. Sorry, I've been a little bit not around here. I've had a lot of things going on between work and amongst other things. So
I think we all got a lot going on right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Dear God, help me, please. Mm-hmm. I'm back.
Same on my spectrum as well, too, with work-related stuff. But at the very least, it's good to have something that's still there given circumstances in the world, especially and not since a lot of people are not as lucky, so I can't complain too much in that regard. But
yeah, we're going to be talking about that shortly. But the usual first question is did anyone watch Dark? I think I know the answer is because I know I didn't. Nope.
In this economy,
absolutely not.
So let's talk something that dropped yesterday. It was formally announced by the MGM Grand in Las Vegas that no, Double or Nothing will not be happening on May 23rd in their house, and they set a rescheduled date for next year.
Oh,
you know, for the equivalent date next year, you know, the Saturday before Memorial Day. So, but AEW are continuing to run with Double or Nothing. So, yay,
guys. You know, you can just call it a season finale at some point here and wrap it up for a little while, right? Right?
Wrong.
I mean, they called it a season finale when they took that week off for Christmas. They called that, you know, the infamous Dark Order invades, you know, the main event episode.
But This is just what
brain worms have entered like everybody in like combat sports right now.
Yeah, there is no need.
I don't get it.
There is no need for Double or Nothing to be happening right now.
Between Vince McMahon, Dana White, Tony Khan, what is wrong with all of you?
No, seriously, what is wrong with all of you?
Yeah, we want answers. We want receipts. We have receipts.
We want actual answers to this. There is absolutely no reason or need to run Double or Nothing right now, especially since we have a limited roster. Half the programs have been that they were building towards have been blown the F up. And furthermore, by the way, it's still kind of a safety risk right now.
Yeah, it's going to be a safety risk overall for a while. No matter, you know, even after we get out of this in a few months, it's still going to be something that's going to be on the back of everyone's mind for at least another year or two until we have, like, a solidified vaccine and everything else. But especially now, it's... yikes.
You got Vince out here printing letters for their... Like that part from the bench warmers where the guy wrote I am 12 on a piece of paper. and I essentially just feel like that's what these papers are for their
yeah, place. Well, yeah, let's get into that for a minute. Let's talk about how Vince McMahon basically bribed the state of Florida to get listed as essential personnel, and then within 48 hours of that revelation, they start cutting hella people off the roster. Like, an insane amount of people.
Boy, you know, Vince McMahon bribing people for his own gain? You don't say, Jeff.
Yeah, I know. Funny that, considering the episode of Dark Side of the Ring that played last night.
Yeah, exactly. 24 hours removed of the one episode from Dark Side of the Ring, implying that Vince McMahon aided someone in covering up a literal murder. This happens.
and the many TV stations he bribed for TV time.
Let's face it, his wife being a cabinet member and heading up a super PAC.
Oh, God.
Jesus Christ. And then we got, Seth Rollins out here bootlicking.
Seth Rollins is the biggest brown noser, I think, in the fucking business now.
At the very least, he's fucking consistent about it. I'll give him that much.
Oh, he sure is.
Jesus Christ. I see a lot of the other bootlickers that are out there, too. They're like, well, look at Disney. They just furloughed 43,000.
Yeah, they suck, too.
Yeah, them, too.
I'm
in comics. I got actual friends that I talk to that have been told pencils down by Marvel and DC and let alone a bunch of the indies. And yeah, you think I'm going to be happy with them too? Get the fuck out of here.
This affects everybody to begin with, and it's not mutually exclusive to tell multiple of these places to just literally fuck off with this sort of behavior. Especially now.
But now you have WWE with the gall in $500 million in cash reserves.
That is the part that upsets me the most out of this entire thing.
To cut $4 million in payroll.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You know what? I know I like to say that I don't watch WWE programming. This shit is why. And yes, I know every single wrestling company on earth has some shady shit going on with it. But this is so fucking pronounced.
I think this really hit my breaking point with them as a whole. I canceled my subscription to the network today. It's not something I don't try not to be performative and announce my things like that, but this was just the last straw for me. This is just so unethically terrible. Just seeing the time that we're in, letting all these people go. What are they going to do? I mean, what are a lot of these guys going to do now?
When Big Japan looks more ethical than WWE.
they're not far behind. I'll say that much.
And not to mention that when you consider the fact that Hiroshi Hase and a coalition of all these different companies came together literally into Japan's government to explain how, all we want at this point is just to get our guys and girls tested as much as we can and to knock them back until everybody else is back with that kind of attitude. It just shows the night and day difference between two different scenes.
Yeah, and Hiroshi Tanahashi's statement today really warmed my heart. It really did. He was essentially, for those who didn't see it, he basically essentially said that, pro wrestling can be the last sport that comes back,
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's not a thing that's needed right now. And yeah, I don't know. I don't know if Hase is going to be able to come through on some of that stuff,
He is an actual cabinet minister in the Abe.
Yeah, I know.
Abe is known for some, shithousery himself as a leader. So.
Right.
100%. Yep.
Right. Yeah. There's shadiness there too. I guess they're spending about $20 million to bolster the government image. There is apparently the news headline that's out there right now.
Yeah.
So that's
I have actual friends in Japan, and they have told me to a person that they are appalled by the response of the government to this.
Yeah. Has not been good.
No, not at all.
Yeah, so add them to the list of just countries that have failed in addressing this whole situation in general. It's pretty shameful stuff from a lot of world leaders.
Yeah. Well, and then, you know, of course, you know, the leader of this country appoints Vince McMahon to be on the council to be, you know, to reopen the economy. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Just, they are trying to kill us at this point.
Absolutely. It's not even a joke at this point. It's like, this is comedy at this point. It's comedy.
Yeah. He says, I'm tired of watching 14-year-old baseball games. Yeah. Hey, me too, bruh. But you know, yep. You know, sometimes
people are dying.
Sometimes you gotta set some shit aside. I mean, let's not forget my other podcast is about a sport.
Yeah.
You know, a shoot sport, and you know, this is what we're having to deal with. But you know, let's get back to, you know, the real topic here is that how do you let go of that many people, especially some of the circumstances involved,
right?
With how some of these folk got to WWE,
it's awful. There's no excuse for it.
Well, it's appalling and it's shameful, and somebody's gonna burn in hell for this one. We hope.
Vince McMahon's sitting here, and let it be known. This is days after he had basically screwed over all of his XFL employees.
Yep.
Oh, there is that. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he is now doubled down at this point on his shittiness. And it's sickening. It's absolutely sickening. It just makes my blood boil. There was a lot of talented people working for the XFL, a lot of great social media people in the XFL that were really doing some really cool things that are now completely fucked, completely screwed in terms of job status. And some people aren't even getting paid what they're owed.
Yeah, that's the problem right there with putting everything into bankruptcy the way that they did is that, yeah, there's a lot of people that are going to get fucked over due to this and just, boy, like, the one time that he should have just stayed out of the way of a thing entirely, and this shit comes up on top of it, of everything that has already happened to the league to begin with, you know.
And one of the worst things about this is that on WWE programming, from everything that you two have told me, they're not even acknowledging what's going on in the world and why we're having to cut all these folk.
It's not, and you know, and I mean, it's like barely, like, you know, mentioned. It's not, it's in, you know, it's not, you know, and that's like, it is what it is. That's semantics in this to me. This is what bothers me now.
I think it's related though, because I mean, they're on screen denying basically the state of the world, and then they're turning around on one hand and, you know, begging for a government handout, basically, you know, bribing officials, and then, you know, cutting talent, you know, when they have, you know, as we mentioned, what was it, a $500 million cash reserve?
Yep.
And to save only, quote-unquote, only $4
million. Yeah, hey, remember that one time in which they struck a deal with one of the most vile governments in the planet currently to get, you know, a bunch of blood money for shows twice a year.
Yeah, not long after they were implicit or complicit in the murder of a journalist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God! I'd fuck Vince McMahon. I'm sorry. I can't.
Don't be sorry.
I can't. I'm not usually animated about this as much as I am right now, but this is broke me. I mean, I just don't have the words to describe how evil and just conniving this is. It's so awful, and I feel so bad for a lot of these folks, and just. Man, I know, and yeah, and I get it. I know some of them probably maybe have wanted the release for a little while. I don't care. Like, a lot of those people didn't, and a lot of those people are legitimately harbor. Did you see, you know, did you see Drake Maverick Spud's Twitter video today? I mean, good God, man. How do you not watch that and feel fucking terrible for all those people?
Yeah, talk about a guy that got blindsided by it entirely, because that's one guy that didn't want to leave. Like, that was his goal and stuff. And I guess that's been one of the problems, too. Like, for so long, I think in pro wrestling, they've made World Wrestling Entertainment to be just this sort of, like, ultimate zenith of where guys need to go to be considered successful, to make it, and just... We have to get out of that mentality at this point. We have to realize that, especially now, there are resources out there for wrestlers to make a living without having to be subjugated to this sort of bullshit from a corporation that does not give a single iota of a fuck about them.
Right. And I think that leads into a segue into... Now, what does AEW do here? And obviously, they can't... They're not in a position right now to do anything... with this either, because, you know, the situation, you know, they're not going to be bringing a whole lot of new people in right now, obviously, but you know it leads you to question, you know, obviously I think you think some of these guys might end up there. I mean, it's inevitable that
nobody's gonna be in any position to sign anybody right now,
which might be
to their benefit, because as Chris and I said, you know, on the last Strong Style Story thing that we were able to do, One of the vague upsides of this is that folks can actually heal up,
right?
And so maybe, you know, that's you take some time there. But yeah, and of course, you know, lest we forget, of course, Vince also considers all of these guys and women independent contractors, not employees, because then he would be, you know, subject to labor laws.
Yeah,
you know, so yeah. Long story short, I think I speak for my two co-hosts here. Yeah, don't watch WWE programming. Do not give them their money. Do not give them your money. You are supporting fascism. You are supporting a horrible family with dubious morals and shitty attitudes towards the health, safety, and well-being of their employees. You know, if nothing else. But,
and guess what? The programming hasn't been that good either, so it's really not worth it anyway.
Well, and then there's that, which I can't speak to, but...
It really has not been good. It's not been good. So it was a pretty easy decision on my part. I just it's not something I'm interested in paying $10 a month for anymore, even with the older content, which I can find probably on other... No other avenues, hint hint, but I've had enough. Well, I've had enough of this. It's enough. I mean, there is gone full blown lunacy at this point.
No, I'm with you, Chris. Do you have any final thing to say? Any final things to say on this subject?
No, the summarizes it well. Let's move on to Dynamite at this point, because otherwise we're just going to keep pissing our own selves off further and further if we keep going down this rabbit hole.
All right, well, with that in mind, let's go to episode 28 of AEW Dynamite. Not live, it's pre-taped, and as we found out from various locales this time, but we start off with another video promo from Jake Roberts, where He says that Lance Archer was, quote, forced to go to Japan. What?
pause. What?
That's what he said. I mean, he was run out of the country and forced to go to Japan. Huh? What?
Well, I mean, early NWA TNA, I could see it.
I mean, there's a case you can be made for it, and obviously the failed WWE run, you know, and...
Yeah, but I don't think anybody was holding a gun to his head. So, yeah, well, anyway, so we got the hype video from Jake Roberts. And with that, we go to the studio with Tony Schiavone and Le Champion Chris Jericho. Where they proceed to hype up a contest where you're supposed to take a video of yourself watching Dynamite and then post it with a hashtag. I guess one of the prizes on here was half a case of a little bit of the bubbly. Chris, you owe us a review of this.
Yes, I'm still waiting on the shipment to come through. I'm figuring COVID-19 at this point is the only reason why it's not here yet, since it's been about 2 weeks from my order. But believe me, once that happens, I will literally be here on this podcast drinking it live, and I will review it in person.
All right. I love this. Yeah. I'm here for this, Chris. I love this.
And incidentally, they never refer to this contest again on this episode.
No, they actually don't at all. Like they nope, just like they it didn't. Just completely like went into like I don't know if anybody did this. I legitimately want to know if anybody on Twitter actually like did this.
I think it's probably a social media team thing. They're taking care of it at that point, it's just like okay.
If you participated in the hashtag watching AEW contest. Hit us up at Strong Style Story without the E in style on Twitter, at LOB_3, and at Brazilian Fury with an S, not a Z.
My girlfriend suggested that she grab her mother's phone and then film herself watching on the phone with me, and then she forgot about it, I think, after like 5 minutes.
I completely forgot about it until I looked at my notes here. I was like, oh, shit, yeah, there was the contest.
I was like, wow, that did happen.
Oh. We go into a video promo with Colt Cabana, which then cleverly segues into our first match of the evening, a first-round TNT Championship matchup between said Colt Cabana and said Lance Archer. This was pretty good, actually.
Yes, probably,
I enjoyed it. Good opening.
One of the more entertaining things on the show. It was a good Big man, underdog matchup.
Yeah, but with the difference of Colt Cabana, of course, being a wily veteran and probably being in the business longer than Lance Archer to give him a little bit of juice there.
Right. Yeah. No. It was a pretty solid match. Cabana had some hope spots in there, and Archer just he stopped him in his tracks a bunch of times, and I thought it was a pretty good formula. They worked here.
Now, when I was watching it, when Archer had him out for the blackout, mid blackout, my feed somehow all of a sudden cut to Archer having pinned Cabana and winning. I'm thinking it was probably something on YouTube TV's end. I don't know. Did you experience that?
No, that did not happen to me. No.
Okay. Well, it's probably on my end then. So.
Yeah.
But, pretty good match. Good way to start off the show. No complaints there.
Mm-hmm. No.
We then go into a video promo from Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. I was kind of entertained by this.
The character work from Britt has been getting much, much better now that she's done the turn and figured out that being just the smarmiest douchebag on the face of the earth is what's going to, put things together for her, and it's been working. So good on her for figuring it out in that regard. Like, in-ring, it's still nowhere near any of the other talents in the women's division, but you know what? Having a character that you want to see get their face punched in the company is a good thing.
Well, hold that thought for a minute, because we're going to talk about the next match. But as we go to commercial, we have video bits from Ariel Helwani.
Yeah.
What's he doing here?
I was a little shocked, too.
He digs the graps to an extent. I know he's talked about it on his MMA show in the past before, because obviously, like, the Brocks and CM Punks of the world and stuff like that. So I guess it made sense for them to get him on this one. So
I think they wanted to add some MMA voices to kind of, like, give some legitimacy.
Balance it out.
And everything.
And then we had, on both sides of the commercial break, we had some bits from Taz. So I've been liking Tony Schiavone and Chris Jericho quite a lot. I am missing Taz and Excalibur quite a bit.
Yeah. No, yeah. Taz, for sure. I thought Taz, this analytical segment there was pretty cool.
Yeah, he got to bust out some judo terms again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bring it back to the golden olden days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. random note as well, too, from just my own end of things, because it involves Excalibur. Yesterday, just because trying to support indie wrestling as much as I can, I ended up getting a High Spots subscription finally, just because wanted to rewatch some of the PWG shows that I was there like in person for and stuff like that. And I remember one particular show in which it was just Excalibur doing introductions because he was the ring announcer had been taken out or something like that. And it was Chuck Taylor versus Adam Cole. And he was introducing Cole with they have a whole bit with Cole in PWG in which he once sat on a chair and it got destroyed underneath him. So Adam Cole's fat jokes became a thing within the company. Oh. So he introduced Cole as basically just, he did a whole thing, like he did his weight, but added like 1,000 pounds on top of it as well, too.
Jesus Christ.
And then, like, as Cole got out of the ring to get Adam, because it was at the announcer's table, he's just like, he's too fat to get through this sea of people. And I'm just like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God.
Oh, Lordy.
I'm just like, I'm just here like, wow. This is questionable behavior in the year of our Lord 2020, to say the least.
Oh,
but
boy. With that, speaking of Adam Cole, we move on to the second match of the evening. Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, in a squash against Cassandra Golden.
And that transition worked out better than expected, by the way. Good job, Jeff.
Hey, no problem. yeah, this is a complete squash, you know, complete with the curb job finish. Again, this wasn't much to show what Britt is all about, but you are noticing that she is transitioning her wrestling too into this heel character, and she's not trying to outwork rate everybody because, you know, she failed miserably with that, you know, during, you know, the first 6 months of this promotion. And I think it's starting to actually fit her character now, and it's kind of working out for me.
Yeah,
complaints.
I mean, I can be convinced here, so, you know.
Give us some time. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah.
The stuff against Sheeta last week and then just the bits we saw out of the squash match, it's an upward trend. Upward trend, yes, let's call it that.
Yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go with that. We then move into more video tidbits. Ron Funches and Mike Goldberg of Bellator giving their opinions on the upcoming Mox versus Hager match. We also get an ad for Double or Nothing, and I kind of cringed a little bit.
Oh, God. Guys, just, we've been over this already. Just don't.
Yeah,
it's okay. You can wait.
Yeah. Yeah. Nobody will die if we don't hold Double or Nothing. You know, really.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy. We then transition into the Bubbly Bunch segment, which was basically just, you know, all of the Inner Circle on their phones doing a group chat. And, yeah, this segment was kind of weak until we got the Hounds that I missed the first time.
Yep. The Santana Yurr to start things off was nice in that regard. It had little moments here and there, but the cut to the Hounds just killed me at near the end. They're just so well done.
Yeah, also, Jericho, he needs to get a better nonstick pan for that egg, because, oh boy.
Yeah.
that egg was getting tore up.
Yeah, this is true, man. Just invest in it.
Just get a good nonstick pan and a silicone spatula.
There you go. You're golden. Your eggs will get done super well all the time.
There you go. Match number three, speaking of the Inner Circle, Sammy Guevara awesome. And our boy, Sugar Dunkerton. Pineapple Pete awesome. is
Jericho likes to refer to him. Kind of lovingly call him.
Yeah, so hey, Shug D, get money, man.
Yeah. Awesome. I was actually pretty happy to see he got a spot here with mm-hmm. them. So that was
Get Very your cool. AW Dark money, get your Pineapple Pete merch money. Like, you deserve it, man. Like, you grinded. Like, if there's a guy that's been grinding, like, all over the place, literally, for far too long that deserved a break, Shug is one of those guys. So, no, I'm super happy for him.
Yeah. And the match, pretty good, too. I had no complaints about this match.
Nope. And that's a credit, because Guevara, to me, for a while, was not really a guy that I particularly enjoyed. But then again, that was like 2 years ago while he was still figuring things out in the Indies. And he's gradually coming into his own here with the more that we see him. Him and Darby is my most anticipated match out of this entire tournament to begin with. To me, in a normal world, this would have been the finals for that championship. But, you know, they're still going to kill it regardless next week. So yeah. There's that to look forward to.
And on that note, Sammy did cut a post-match promo, and we had a little cameo from Mr. Allen.
Mm-hmm. We did.
So that was good. That was good. Our fourth match of the evening. Excuse me, sorry. In which sexy Chucky T, Chuck Taylor, who still has yet to drop the S-bomb on TNT television, despite 12 other people having done so.
Yep. Being Dustin is suffering.
Yeah. So Chuck Taylor with Orange Cassidy takes on Kip Sabian with his newly betrothed Penelope Ford. Leading into this match, we found out something very interesting about Tony Schiavone, in that apparently on his website he's selling edibles.
Oh my God!
Get your money, Tony. Get your money, man.
Tony the Dank Master. I who would have thought?
Remember when we used to think, you know, back during WCW, that Tony Schiavone was like the biggest dork, and like, and yeah, it turns out he may actually be the coolest one.
Tony uses everybody. Poor Tony just got like raked over the coals for years for that stupid Mankind comment that he got
that he was forced to say.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad Tony has gotten his redemption, and has people have seen him for the cool dude that he is.
Yeah. Support Tony Schiavone, protect him at all times.
Well, remember when, you know, back on that episode of Nitro, when he proclaimed that Kiss was his favorite band on Earth, we were all like, yeah, bullshit. But no, it turns out, maybe it is.
Yeah, actually.
it's like, wow, yep. I mean, who are we to doubt Tony Schiavone at this point?
Chris, what did you think of the match?
Thought it was enjoyable. In terms of it, I know Kip Sabian is like the fifth alternative for like a super speedy British guy that AEW wanted, considering NXT UK was a thing that happened. But Kip has been holding his own in a couple of these individual performances. I've always enjoyed Dustin's work. I thought they did well together with the time that they had, and they set up a future match for next week's show through this as well. So hooray, booking that advances the plot, which is always welcome in these parts.
Yeah, the thing with Jimmy Havoc, though, is there something, other than they're both British, that, you know, are they aligning themselves during these crisis times because the hybrid two aren't available?
I think that's part of it as well, and I think they've been good friends for the longest time, so it was sort of a natural fit into it as well, so they just decided to run with it, which, yeah. All right, cool.
Ever since Colt Cabana socked Kip Sabian in the jaw, Kip Sabian's actually been a pretty decent performer. So I'm wondering if it maybe when Colt hit him, he just kind of unlocks something, you know, unblocks some chakra or something that's allowing the true potential of Kip Sabian to come through.
To be fair, I sort of started turning the corner on him after the mixed tag that him and Penelope had against Kenny and Riho on the Jericho boat a couple weeks back. But hey, I mean, your mileage may vary on that one too.
Yeah, I haven't. he's like the most mid wrestler in the fucking world. Oh my God. He is the most like mediocre wrestler in on the planet. He's like the fucking like Mendoza line of like.
Yeah. Oh my God. A Mendoza line reference and boom goes to Dynamite.
Oh my God. He's just, everything he does is just so average.
Yeah, but I'm just talking ever since he got jacked in the jaw by Colt Cabana, his performances on Dynamite have been pretty okay. So, you know, that's all I'm saying.
I guess. I don't know. I wasn't too like. It wasn't hidden wrestling that made this entertaining. It was like all the shenanigans outside, like Orange Cassidy trying to be eye candy on the fucking ring apron.
That was hilarious.
Fucking killed
excuse
me.
Excuse you. Orange Cassidy is eye candy.
Lawrence. Come on, man.
Keep up, Lawrence.
Jesus.
How fucking dare I?
That's right. How dare you? That's right. I think you need to go order some. You need to go order some of them edibles from Tony Schiavone.
I will do.
Get on that. Expect a review of it. I expect a review of those and the bubbly when Chris gets it. So
that would be the most incredible episode ever.
Okay. Yeah. So we all need to get a bottle of the bubbly, and then we all need to get the edible.
Oh my God!
If Tony Schiavone is listening to this, yeah, we would appreciate you sponsoring this upcoming episode. We will gladly try your samples.
Yeah, we may be giving Johnny Sorrow a run for his money here. We're doing edibles live on the air.
Oh Jesus fucking Christ!
Hey Johnny, glad to see the WorldCast is back. Anyway, and then. From here, the show just kind of goes off a cliff. Our fifth match of the evening, Sean Spears against a jobber named Justin Law. Justin had an amateur wrestling takedown background. Spot that popped me. But yeah, this match was bleh.
It was that spot in the commentary with Jericho going, never get cocky against your opponents. It could cost you. And then Tony going, never done that? No, never.
Yeah. Jericho is a gem on commentary. He is an absolute gem. I'm going to miss it when we all go back and we have regular wrestling shows again. And we will not have Jericho on commentary anymore. And then... We switch locations. We are suddenly in Daly's place for the main event of this episode, Jon Moxley versus Jake Hager. Empty arena, no holds barred, but not false count anywhere. This will come into play here for the AEW World Heavyweight Championship. Jim Ross is solo on commentary on this match, and that is pretty much the prelude that you need to know how this match is going to go.
Yeah, this was not good.
This sucked.
This was very bad. One of the most boring, long, dragged out messes of a wrestling match I have had to witness in quite some time.
This match was 35 minutes of TV time with 3 commercial breaks.
Yeah, just no excuses, guys. What the fuck?
There is absolutely no reason Jake Hager should be going more than 10 minutes.
It is a physical impossibility that he goes more than 5 because he was blown up within 5 minutes. And this is on a show that they could have done multiple takes on this match, and they did not.
Like, there was an opportunity to like try and do like a crazy fight all across the arena portion, make it false count anywhere, make it actually seem like, hey, if you're going to make sure that Moxley's title reign is under jeopardy kind of thing, like play along with that by adding those elements. But no, we just sort of got really a very boring TV main event, unfortunately, which neither of the guys had chemistry with each other, and just it didn't really work. Sadly.
Yeah, and the fact that this was not false count anywhere, but just no holds barred in an empty arena, they did not use, they did not make the best use of the empty arena stip at all.
No, absolutely not.
It was pointless. They could have just made this a regular match. And instead, again, we had, this was 35 minutes of TV time because it started at, you know, the intros for this started at 8:25, according to my clock. you know, it this was, oh God. And the match itself was just dull. I mean, let's face it. We here on this program are huge fans of Jon Moxley. We were big fans of saying Jon Moxley can do no wrong, but oh my God, if you want to talk about Jon Moxley going up against a guy that has, like, you know, grappling or, you know, in that arena, he's had matches with Minoru Suzuki this year, and we were promised a match with Zack Sabre Jr. before, you know, the world caught on fire.
Yeah.
And here we are with Jake Hager. Great.
Oh,
the one, man. The only positive that we can take out of this, and that's just as a shout out to our good friend Cubs fan, is that after 35 minutes of just utter and complete suffering, Jon Moxley did retain the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, and in the process became the 11th linear Lucha Underground Championship, and now we can finally retire that shtick at long last.
Whoa, back up here. Okay, wait a minute.
So wait, let me guess, you didn't know that Jake Hager became Lucha Underground Champion, did you?
No.
When do you know who he beat? At the very last episode of Season 4, and do you want to know who he beat for the title? This might piss you off even further, by the way.
If you say Pentagon...
It was Panna, in fact. God. He cashed a gift of the gods on him, as a matter of fact.
Wait, Jake Hager was in Lucha Underground Season 4? I wasn't even watching Lucha Underground at this point.
Yeah, oh, I did not know that either.
Trust me, Season 4 was questionable in a lot of ways.
It was a train wreck from everything I heard. So.
Yeah, train wreck is a good word for it, but we can rest easy. Jon Moxley now holds the Lucha Underground Championship by linear rights, and we can finally retire that bit, and hopefully we can move away from Jake Hager as a whole.
We can retire that bit that we only debuted 2 minutes ago. Gotcha.
Well, Cubs fan can finally retire the bit. I'm just saying in general, like, we don't need to do it on the show at any point anymore either, so.
Okay. So, anyways. Yeah, so with that in mind, yeah, this match sucked. This was a not good first defense for Moxley, and I felt bad.
It wasn't like it was, like, sloppy, like, wrestling. It was just bad, like, boring-ass wrestling. It was just heatless, like completely devoid of any emotion, devoid of any excitement.
So it's a Monday Night Raw main event is basically what you're saying, Lawrence.
Worse.
Yeah. Well, my biggest complaints were, you know, Jake Hager was in this match and they did not use the full. They failed to use the empty arena to its full potential. You know,
right? Well, and it's like, I mean, what do you think you're going to get when you book Hager in a three-segment match? I mean, really? I mean, where do you expect that to go?
Yeah.
How do you think that's playing to his strengths? It's because it isn't.
I mean, we saw he was so exposed at Revolution. I don't know why they decided to continue with this. Oh, he's an MMA badass. Well, so is Suzuki, and... Yeah,
I mean, it's just like, you know, certain guys just don't have to have them wrestle three-segment matches. He's one of them.
Yeah, well, we don't really need him to wrestle three-second matches either, so, quite frankly. Anyway.
I think he could be decent in a certain role, you know, but this is not it. I mean, this is just not it.
Well, yeah, God almighty. Yeah, well, that role was just standing behind, Jericho wearing a polo shirt.
Right.
That was that role. He was good at that role. But...
Yeah.
But so this marks the fourth, main event slash or ending segment because, you know, 4 weeks ago we didn't have an actual match. We had the Jericho Matt Hardy thing, which thank God we didn't get any Matt Hardy crap this week. So I'll put that in the pros column.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is the fourth week in a row that the show started off great and then it just fell off a cliff. You know?
Mm-hmm. I see what you mean. Yeah, but
so.
They got this out of the way, so ideally we don't do anything like this again, but you never know sometimes with these places. So.
Well, and with that, we wrap up episode 28 of AEW Dynamite. You know what? I'm not feeling doing the pros and cons this week because, let's face it, we had a whole lot of cons in wrestling hoisted upon us today, you know?
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not feeling doing the pros and cons this week, unless you two just want to throw something out there real quick.
No, I think I'm all right at this point, just not doing the bit for this week and just saying, in general, use this time. Use, if you have the resources and the means to do it, just support your favorite wrestlers out there in the indies, like, especially the guys that kind of got canned to begin with today, who were fans of them within the big corporate world. Just follow whatever it is that they're going to be doing in the future and try to support them the same way that you know, support anything else that you love, I guess.
WWE fired Kendo Koshin, and we cannot let them get away with that.
That's right.
They can't get away with Koshin.
That is
the last straw. The
fucking final straw right there.
Finley got fired today.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, you know. And
Storm blows his school and school.
Yeah. Just fuck up, man.
Bro.
I will say this, though, for the Fit Finley bit, as a positive, at the very least, Jay White immediately telling him, hey, we got a place for you here in Bullet Club if you're interested, when his son is in the same company as Jay White.
Oh, that was classic.
Fantastic trolling.
That was great. That was great. All right, well, wrestling has just really kind of killed us today. So with that in mind, let's do the plugs. Lawrence.
You can find me on Twitter at LOB_3. I don't have a whole lot today, so.
Chris.
Yeah, same deal. You can just find me on Twitter at Brazilian Fury with an S instead of a Z. Soundtracks on the Sticks is at Sounds on Sticks on Twitter and under the Night of the Living Geeks Network, which is soundcloud.com/NOTLG. Sorry, a bit of a brain fart here on that regard. Today's been rough. Sorry.
You can find me at Strong Style Story without the E in Style, or my personal Twitter at GD Wessel, 2 S's 1 L. At least myself and Chris, possibly Lawrence, if you're down, we're going to be finally getting around to episode 2 of our Strong Style History series on the older matches that NJPW World are putting on the front page. So, because
we're
falling behind, but you know what? Real life has just been a motherfucker lately. So, you know. So these things, and it was a holiday weekend this past weekend too. So you know they kind of entered into it too. But we are actually going to be recording that, I think, tomorrow. Didn't we say, Chris? Tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we were aiming for tomorrow. I will have to just, of course, keep on the lookout for whatever work throws at me. But at the very least, then for sure we can do it by this weekend at the latest.
Yeah. We'll get back on that because we have some classic New Japan matches to discuss. So anyway, Chris, Lawrence, any final words?
I've vented all I've needed to vent.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Okay. Well, with that in mind, we will either see you later this week on Strong Style History, or we'll catch you next week here on Boom Goes the Dynamite. So. Take care of yourselves, be safe, and Vince McMahon can go to hell.